which is kind of what we get dive into today. So I'm excited to have Grace with me on this episode because if you guys remember in her comeback episode, I asked her, I'm like, what are some of your productivity tips or tips for staying productive? Yeah. And she literally goes, I don't have
it. I am not productive.
So I knew I had to have her on this podcast today with Lori because Lori is a productivity powerhouse, might I add. She just kept spitting knowledge and I had no idea what to do. So I thought I had the idea to invite Lori on. I was having a conversation with Brandon and I'm like, we're having so many clients here and which is awesome and amazing, but I want to make sure I'm getting everything done and in a timely manner in the time that they expect. And he was giving me some like, do this. I'm like, no, I don't, that's not gonna work.
That's not for me.
I found Lori and she is here in the Des Moines Metro, which is amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if businesses and clients can work with her to fix their productivity needs. And I don't even know if it's a productivity deficiency that we have. It's just more of maybe an efficiency deficiency.
Yeah. Like how to be efficiently productive.
And like, so the to-do list is not like a mile long.
Right.
And the overwhelm. We can leave work knowing I got everything I needed to get done today and not be like, shit, I gotta go get fixed in the morning.
Or like how to have the conversations with like what's priority and what can like be pushed out.
She talks about those systems and even when we get into email, which that's a whole organizational beast in itself.
Yes, I have folders. But nothing is in the folders.
How do you set up your folders?
Well, right now I have Bing Bang marketing, and then I have clients, and then each client has a subfolder.
Yes.
And then I have a miscellaneous.
I don't want to know what's in that folder.
So anything that doesn't fall into one of those goes in a miscellaneous.
That's too funny. Yeah, mine go, I have a Bing Bang marketing, and then I have, like, Jealous. I think Jealous has its own.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe. No, I don't think it does. Then I do. I have clients and then potential clients. So I have that sort of flow.
Yeah.
And then don't even get me started on some clients. So I have the subcategory with the client. And then they have a subcategory.
It's like the project.
Yeah.
It's too much.
But you need it. And I think the cool thing that she was touching on today is that everyone's different and she feeds into that. Which is, I was trying to pull as much information out of her as I could, but at the end of the day, everyone has their own way that works for them and what they like to do. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to give overarching advice, even though we took some stuff away today. It's hard to give overarching advice for everyone, but there are so many takeaways today. That's my challenge to you all is take one thing. Like, I know I took one thing.
Yeah.
We are ordering flags on Amazon.
Flag. Right. Flag system is being implemented.
And I'm going to use these buttons more. She was amazing to have on. We'll link everything below. And as always, like, comment, subscribe. The more ratings we have, the more we get to reach other people and bring on more amazing guests like Lori. So thanks, for Grace, for joining me today.
First.
Thank you.
Who left his mic on?
That was your fault.
Sam makes a guest appearance.
When we change the set around, I'm going to control the board. Who are you jealous of this week?
Oh,
also, this is Sam from the Bing Bang Press Pool.
You know, I was thinking about this morning because my Chiefs play tomorrow and I'm really jealous of people that get, and I have to be in a video tomorrow. I'm doing something with IRFA and so I can't wear my Chiefs gear. Aww. So I'm jealous that I can't partake in red Thursday was what it's going to be.
Well, you could change after.
I know, but that just sounds like a lot of work. Grace, I got to set boundaries.
Yeah. One outfit a day.
One outfit a day. I know. I wore something to work on Monday, and I worked from home Tuesday, but I met up with Grace for lunch, and I was literally wearing the same top. I'm like, we don't plan outfits if we don't have to. Do you have anyone you're jealous of?
I'm actually jealous of Mackenzie.
Oh!
Because we saw her yesterday at lunch, and she has this newborn baby and she's just getting ready to come back, you know, in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So it's just like a really exciting time for her. And I was just like,
I texted her this morning. I'm like, I had no idea I needed a 2-hour lunch with you to like spark my creativity back up. Cause
so good.
I think I emailed Grace right after I got out of the shower. I had so many ideas that came to me. The shower is one of the most creative places. And I had so many ideas that came to me. I'm like, how to write them all down once I got out. But
yeah,
I'm so excited to have her back. Mm-hmm. We've had a paper chain up for 12 weeks. And we are so close to taking that last one off.
I know.
Ro's so cute. She had her little bracelet.
I know. She has a bracelet that says Ro. Oh, precious.
Does it make you want more kids?
No. It's just fun to see other people
to
with
see
it.
See other people with it. We don't need them to have sleep deprivation again. That one's not
Three's
fun.
Enough.
Three's enough. Sam, do you want to chime in with who you're jealous of? Or since you put it on me. Okay. With that, enjoy this episode with Lori and enjoy your week.
Bye.
Welcome back to the Jealous Podcast. I am here with Grace, but also more importantly, Lori. She is our productivity powerhouse that we have on the podcast today. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you.
I was trying to tell her a little sooner that I brought her on kind of selfishly because we're getting a lot of clients here at Bing Bang and our lists are getting bigger and we're starting to be like, oh my gosh, how do we get everything done? And we're constantly feeling a little behind. So selfishly, I brought you on today. Grace can attest to that.
I'm always like showing. I'm working on like 7 different things.
What comes first? So we're excited to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you have a lot of knowledge. So what got you started with this? Kind of what was your journey with it? And can you define what you do for other business owners?
Sure. Yeah, do you want the long or the short story?
Oh, bring on the long. I want to hear it all.
It's kind of a long journey. Okay. So coming out of college, I was a math major, and coming out of college, I was an actuary.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we are already different.
So, I'm very left-brained.
Yeah.
And so I did that for 13 years, and really it was just, you're good at math, it's a good career, it's a good stable career, that's what you should do. Mm-hmm. I remember having, when I worked at Principal, and they brought somebody in that talked about loving what you do and following your passions, and at the time I thought, oh, this is kind of crazy. Like, you got to make money, you got to do what you're good at.
Right.
And now I totally get it. Like, it took some things, you know, going through some things and growing up.
How old were you at that time?
When he came in, I was probably in my 20s, like mid-20s,
yeah.
I would say.
Okay.
And so some things happened in the company I was working for. The subsidiary got sold off, and there were some changes. Mm-hmm. And it really changed my mindset on doing what I love and, you know, really being passionate about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was struggling a little bit in her career at the time, too. So we decided to partner up and start the business. But when we started it, we worked more on the residential side. It looked a lot different than what I do today. And so I was doing professional organizing on the residential side.
Okay, yeah.
And then she was coming and doing the creative painting and window coverings and making things look really nice.
Yeah.
So we did that for several years, but I did start to miss the professional world and working with professionals and using kind of that part of my brain and what I was trained to do that way. So over time, I transitioned over more to the business side, and then she ended up moving away. So at that point, I was like, okay, I'm ready to just focus on business organization and productivity.
Yeah.
And that's even grown and changed since I started that focus. Mm-hmm.
I think that's even developing in the business world. It's becoming more common to work on your professional mm-hmm. side and personal life, if that makes sense. So that's great for everything you're doing, too.
I think so. Yeah, since I started my business in 2005.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. And
yeah.
And it's definitely becoming more known
mm-hmm.
and more of a thing than it was when I started,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so what I do is the easy, simple way to say it is I help people to better manage their time, their space, and their information.
Yeah.
So anything to be more efficient, more productive. I love helping people really kind of what I talked about earlier, figure out what it is you're passionate about, what your vision is, what you love, and then let's find the best way to get there and set up the right systems so you're not overwhelmed and you can be productive and then you can have time for those things you love to do at the same time.
I love that. So what are some of the biggest pain points when people come and find you? They're like, this is what I'm feeling right now. Help me, help me, help me.
I would say my top three services or things I help people with are one, the office, the space, the paper clutter, getting things set up in a physical environment so that you feel productive and you don't feel chaotic when you're in your space and you enjoy being in your space.
Yeah.
The second one would be email management. Yeah. That's a big one as well.
We recently discovered there's folders in Gmail.
Oh, yes.
We just learned that. Absolutely. So that's who you're dealing with.
We set up all our folders, and then I'm like, oh, I'm not putting anything in my folder.
It's a habit. It's definitely a change. So email management. And then the third one would be time management. So I do a lot of coaching with people where it is really about what are my goals and how do I manage my time to reach those goals and managing everything around that. So okay. I would say those are kind of the top three challenges I see.
Yeah. And I bet they come to you a lot and they're just like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to keep up with it, that sort of stuff. So can you break down overwhelm kind of in a sense? Like, where do you think overwhelm comes from and what are some tips that we can do to help manage that overwhelm?
You know, it's interesting. I think people call me when they hit that breaking point. Yeah. You may feel overwhelmed for a long time, but you're like, oh, I can handle it. I can get control of it. Mm-hmm. But something happens where there's that breaking point and people call me. And a lot of times that breaking point isn't even what they need the most help with.
Yeah.
We start to dive in and look at their challenges and it's like, oh, you thought we were going to start here, but what if we start here?
Yeah.
You know? And so I think it is just, we have so much coming at us mm-hmm. on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And then even through COVID, I think things got even worse. People started reprioritizing and they don't want to spend, 80 hours a week at work. Mm-hmm. And so how do I work in the most efficient way so I can enjoy all these other things I love to do as well?
Yeah.
So it's just, there's always going to be more to do than the time we have.
Yeah.
And I think that's what leads to the overwhelm.
For sure. Yeah. And there's a logical way to look at it. Like you said, like we can put systems in place and all that stuff, but there's also the emotional side of overwhelm where mm-hmm. you talk about priorities and like, what do you need to get done today and what can wait? Is that kind of stuff that you work on?
Yeah, I think I have a lot of people that come to me and they're like, I can never get ahead.
Yeah.
I'm constantly just whatever fires are coming in or whatever's the top of my email inbox. And so there's no intention behind it.
Yeah.
And that's my big thing is to help people be more intentional about what you're spending your every minute of the day doing instead of just whatever's coming at you. And then you always feel like you're behind and you're always catching up and you're never getting to those things on the back burner.
So that's kind of like Grace and I were talking. That's where we're at kind of right now. We're like, we want to feel caught up. Mm-hmm. So if Grace and I were to approach you and be like, hey, we need some assistance, and this is me being selfish again because we need some assistance. Where do you start with people like us who are like, I want to get that to-do list caught up?
So if it is more on that time management side of things, mm-hmm. then it really is stepping back. I do like to step back with people and say, okay, really, what is your vision in life and work? Where do you want to go? What are your priorities? Because you always, in order to know what you're working on at any certain point in time, you have to know what that vision is and what those priorities and what your why is.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm working with people, when you come across those challenges, we always go back to the why. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this and where are we trying to get?
Yeah.
And that can help you get through anything. So we start there. Like, what's your vision? What are your goals? And then how do we lay out that plan mm-hmm. so that you can start to work towards those goals and know you're working on the right things? And I have a lot of processes we do as far as categorizing the tasks into different areas, which is a really great start to organize all those things on your plate. Let's start to categorize, and then we can start to prioritize and decide when it's going to happen. So there's definitely steps to get to that point where it's like, okay, now I'm comfortable that what I'm working on right now is what I should be working mm-hmm. on.
And even with that time management does come efficiency. And can you kind of, so efficiency is seen as got to get done as fast as I can. Let's get it out through and through. Mm-hmm. Can you define what you think efficiency kind of means from not only the logical perspective, but the emotional side of it too, and that shift that people need to make, that mindset shift of, yes, you could be efficient in getting it done as fast as you can, but also what's efficient for your time to get you to that work-life balance of that kind
Yeah,
of
I mean, it's efficiency isn't necessarily working fast, but it's working on the right things mm-hmm. at the same time.
Yeah.
And fast is a weird word because you may not be working fast. It's about being able to focus in the moment and knowing that you're working on what you should be working on and being able to focus on those things. Having the processes in place in the background mm-hmm. to help you be more efficient. So that may be some automation, that may be better delegation, mm-hmm. better communication. It's all, there's a lot around that. But to me, efficiency and productivity are a little bit different things. Efficiency is having the right systems and processes in place. Productivity is that plus knowing you're working on the right things and knowing your goals and your priorities and everything that goes around that.
Yeah. So if you find someone who's ready to either delegate or find a process, like what is, where do you direct them to, or what are some tools that you have for them to be like, this is what you should probably do next to get some stuff off your plate?
So it one thing I don't, there's only a couple tools that I'm like, everybody should probably have this in place.
Let's talk about it.
But yeah.
I'm like, give me the tea. I want it all.
I mean, generally, everybody's different. And everybody works differently. And some people love paper, and some people hate paper. And some people use Gmail, and some people use Outlook. So I don't necessarily say you have to use a certain system. But generally, yes, you do need a good email system in place. I love Outlook. Gmail works for a lot of people as well.
Uh-huh.
So we can, you know, we can work with both and make sure you're using those features like the folders and understand the features to use it more productively.
Yeah.
I love a paper planner.
We do too.
And a lot of people, they don't want to do the paper, but there's something, and there's science behind this, there's something about writing things down and helping you process your thoughts.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of great planners out there, but I couldn't find one that specifically fit the process I like to use with clients and what I think worked best. So I ended up creating one.
I love that.
Yeah,
that fits your brand.
yes. So that is obviously something that I work with my clients on. So okay, this is the process. Let's at least understand the process. And then if you decide to go digital with this, you know, that's fine. But I think just understanding it on paper, getting everything off your mind with that brain dump is huge.
We love a brain dump. Grace and I, we were talking about how our planners are organized. I should have brought you a sheet of paper so you could literally see. So mine's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I write down everything that comes to my head on Monday. And then it just keeps filtering down all the way to Friday. And I'm like, wait, where is the organization in this? Like, I'm not even using it.
That's just a list.
It's just a piece of paper at this point. And Grace has, like, four lists going on.
Mine is, like, everything on this side. And then it's, like, you take it from here, and then you put it on the day you're going to do it. And then
that's actually very similar to my planner.
Okay.
It's a similar method. Because mine is you brain dump everything on the top.
Okay.
By category. So that's where you start to kind of get your organization in. Mm-hmm. And then you start to look at your calendar. What do I have going on every week? And then you filter it into what days am I going to do all these different things?
Yeah.
So it's kind of takes both your processes into more of a structured format.
I love that. So that your system is brain dump, everything you got to get down in your categories, and then look at your calendar, what your schedule is like that week, and then prioritize that stuff on the given days.
On the given days, yes. Yeah.
I could do
absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
So I like doing that. And on Mondays, it's great. I'm like, this is what I can do all week. This is, and then it's like, you start working and then like things get thrown in.
Yeah.
And it throws off like everything that I was going to do from like Tuesday on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, you definitely have to allow some flexibility for those unexpected things.
Yeah.
And then I think if you're doing this over time, you start to get used to what reasonably can happen in a week. I mean, usually my clients are going to start with way more that they could get done in a week. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, okay, what went well, what didn't? And then you start to get a feel for really what is reasonable.
Yeah.
And then it helps you start to prioritize a little better too. So
I'm starting to realize that myself with the lists I create for myself. But then it goes back to that I need to be getting more done in a certain amount of time to feel like I'm accomplishing something, if that makes sense.
Because
there's that personal comparison or self-fight that you have with yourself, which I bet is a big part of what you do, too. Mm-hmm. I read on your website you kind of feel like a therapist or something.
Sometimes I do, yes.
And I can see that when I start to think about my own processes. It's like I want to get, like yesterday, I had six things I wanted to get done on my list. I got done three. And I wanted it just because I knew I'd be better set up for today. And I didn't get those three things done. And I was killing myself. I'm like, I need to get these things done. But it's like, no, I have to have this work-life balance where I look up at the clock. I'm like, it's 7. You got to stop. You got to start making dinner, Shelb. And dinner's not that extensive for me. I make, like, eggs. But where does that – how do you work with clients from that therapist perspective of here's – it's okay. It's not a fire.
Yes.
We are going to get through it.
Well, so I'll have to ask you. So when you went, you did say, okay, I'm done for today. I'm going to go. Once you started making dinner, were you like, it really wasn't that big a deal?
Yes.
I mean, okay. Yeah. Yes. And usually that is the case. I think we have to, it's again about intention. Mm-hmm. So it's intentionally making that choice that I need to be done here. I need to move on. Cause we can always be working nowadays with the access to everything. Yeah. And so you have to be really intentional, cause you can get lost in your work and think it's so important. But if you just take 5 minutes, take a walk, step away, it's like, okay, no, that can wait till tomorrow. Yeah. So, you know, when I work with my clients, we work through that. And part of my planner as well is gratitude. So looking back every week and being grateful about what you did accomplish and what did happen, mm-hmm. and then resetting for the next week. And so one thing I find is once you start getting everything on paper, it's less overwhelming than it is in your mind.
For sure.
You always make it bigger in your head than it is. So when I have some clients I talk with weekly, and when we talk, they're like, oh, it was such a bad week. I didn't get anything done. All these different things came up. And we say, okay, let's talk through what went well, what didn't. And by the end of our talk, they're like, well, I guess it wasn't as bad as I thought. I did a good thing. So we always make it worse in our minds.
Yeah, Melanie, who's just leaving. Bye, Melanie. She starts our Monday meetings off, like, what was a win you had last week? Like, what was something that you felt good that you accomplished? And I think one week it was that I successfully made it through the Hot Wing Challenge. And that was my win, and that's okay. Yeah. You know, like, next week's a new week.
Yeah, but it is good to find something.
Yeah, remember? Exactly.
Yeah.
So you brought up this Gmail again, and you said that there's some features that people should be utilizing. Can you touch on some of those features that you think people should be utilizing in Gmail to have a more efficient productivity workflow?
Yeah, I would say in either Gmail or Outlook, because a lot of people are using both.
Yeah.
Definitely those. Well, let me step back. One thing that I use with clients, whether it be email or paper or any digital information, any information that's coming into you fits into one of three categories. And it follows an ART acronym. So it's either actionable, it's just reference, or it can be trash. Or in the case of email, you can delete it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so everything that comes in, you can fit into one of those three categories. And so within your email, you need it set up to be able to know where that email goes, if it's reference or if it's action or if it's obviously if it's toss, you just delete it. So with reference, it's those folders. Mm-hmm. So setting up those folders, but setting them up in this simple as way as possible.
Yeah.
I've worked with people where we've looked at their email structure or their folder structure, and they'll have like 150 folders. Like
Lori has that. Yeah. She's the one that told us about folders. And I'm like, geez, you have so many folders. What's in that one? There's like one email in it.
Yes.
Why do you have a folder for that?
Yes. So again, it's back to being intentional about those folders. So, you know, what 7 to 10 folders can you set up that categorizes everything in a way? Both Gmail and Outlook have great search features. Mm-hmm. So you're going to likely find what you need.
Yeah.
But just to have some structure in those folders. So think about the way that you work and the way that you want to store that reference information. And then for action, both Gmail and Outlook have task functionality as well and to-do functionality. Uh-huh. Outlook's is a little richer, I would say, than Gmail. Okay. But Gmail has a task area as well. So can you turn those emails into tasks? Mm-hmm. Or some people want to use their inbox as a to-do list, which I don't necessarily recommend, but if you do that, there's ways you can color code and prioritize and do some things with your inbox, or maybe even set up some action folders where you're putting things in there as well.
That's a good idea. Like, kind of like how we do with our lists on a physical sense, but people are like, got to get this done, like Monday to-dos or something. Yeah. I don't know how people categorize.
Yeah, there's you could do it by day, or you can say high, medium, low priority, or you could say this has to be done this week, this is next week, or, you know, there's so many different ways you could do it.
Yeah.
But the key is remembering to go in there, creating that habit to actually look at those emails when they need to be done.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, do you do anything around, like, automation when they come in? So, like, it comes in and it automatically goes in the folder.
Yeah, so there's rules. Yes, there's rules and filters. You can do both in Gmail and Outlook.
Okay.
So there's certain emails you may get that you need to keep them, but you don't necessarily need to see them. And you can have them just bypass your inbox and go right into a folder.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much. Have you ever heard of Workamajig?
No, I haven't.
That's one of our system. Grace knows a lot about.
It's our project management system. So
I'll have to look at that.
We keep all of our, like, from client first touch to delivering their deliverables, we're in Workamajig and tracking it. So we have our to-dos assigned from Workamajig from our project manager. So
yeah, I'll have to look at that one. I love looking at new then, project management systems.
Yeah, we get emails from WorkimaJig. Yeah. And then it's like, we're going into WorkimaJig.
Yeah, and then what do we do with that? Right. Yeah.
So it's like, oh no.
Yes.
What are some other project management systems that you use with your clients?
Well, if I have a lot of clients that are in the Microsoft 365 tool. And so within there, they have Planner, which is a great project management tool. Asana is another great one.
Yes.
Trello is another really good one. Rike is another one I like that isn't as well known, but I really like Rike. Rike, I like it because it looks more like a file and folder structure.
Yeah.
So people that are really familiar with that structure, it kind of mirrors that. There's so many out there.
With those, do you notice that people use them more individually or with teams?
With teams for the project management. And that's a good point. You really can, you know, I talked about the action reference, taught the art. Well, even with an action, then there's so many different types of action.
Yeah.
And so you can separate your individual tasks versus the projects you're working on with others. And when you're working with others, it is great to have those project management systems in place. When it's just your own individual projects and tasks, there's some things you can do within Outlook or maybe smaller systems that you can do your own project management. But you can also use these. If you're using WorkimaJig for the company and project management, you could use that for your individual project management and just have your own little separate area in there as well. So I do like to look at the tools that clients are already using and how can we utilize that and enhance that for your other needs as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
I want to go. Sam's ready. Sorry. We have a press box guy today, and his name is Sam, and he has a question for Lori. Your mic is hot, Sam.
All right, so... Sam from the Bing Bang Press Pool. Lori, love everything you're putting down right now.
First
thing I'll have you do, get that mic a little closer to your face.
All right.
Okay. As a producer.
I think I'm leaning back too much.
No, you're fine. But so my main question is, what is your experience when talking with creatives in terms of how they work to get projects done? Because as a video editor and creating content, and maybe Grace and Shelby too, when we're creating creative content, you don't want to feel like, you got to be creative like right at this time, because you got to find that flow sometimes and find that way to get yourself in like the right mindset, I think, sometimes. Mm-hmm. So how do you help like a creative mind to really work efficiently sometimes? Because if anything, creative minds are like some of the most scatterbrained, because we feel like our minds work at like 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, and it goes to that time management too. Like when we are in a project and then our squirrel and we're like, oh, got to do that really quick. So. Yes.
Or even like I look at a project sometimes and like for me just starting the project, like looking at a blank timeline to edit video is like infuriating. But then I get to the end and I'm like, I did all this?
yes. That's a good question, Sam.
You almost actually just answered your own question right there. Because one of the things, it's an excellent question. And one of the things is just to dive in with creatives. It's like, just dive, start writing, start typing, whatever it is. And it'll start to come. And because you keep, okay, so my daughter is a creative. Oh, she is a writer. She's an amazing writer.
How old's your daughter?
She's a sophomore at Iowa.
Oh, so cool.
And she will tell me all the time, well, I'm like, write it, you know, work on your book. She's writing a book right now. I have to be inspired. I can't think of anything. So I hear this a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes it really is, you're not going to get anywhere if you don't just sit down and do it. But I also think with creatives, it's about leaving the flexibility. I know... I have people, there's like, I hate too much structure. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's keeping me from being creative and being and having that flow. And so it's having structure, but leaving flexibility for that as well.
Yeah.
And finding the kind of the, I have a template I use or a tool I use called my productive week. And so it's coming up with what would be my ideal week on a perfect week. If everything went as planned, what would it look like? But then leaving flexibility, here's my basis, but if I'm feeling like I've got the flow and I'm creative, I'm going to put this aside and I'm going to work and I'm going to be creative. And so leaving that flexibility, but then still having that basis and that structure for when you do need to get something done and just get to it, you know.
Yeah.
So
I know with Grace and I both, like, we'll be starting a project and then we can get started and we're in the flow, but then we see someone else comes up to us. They're like, hey, we need to get this done or something like that. And our squirrel brain goes off and does that, and we totally forget what we were working on. So in a time management sense, how do you, like, what is your advice on how to better manage not only your squirrel thoughts, I guess, but getting back to a project that you were working on in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. So for people who have that tendency to get distracted, definitely you need to find a space where you can focus and not have those distractions. So if it's a half a day a week, you go work in a coffee shop or you go home and work, although you can get distracted very easily at home as well.
You're like, those dishes are so high.
Yes, you have to go home and shut the door. But yeah, finding a space. There's things you can do as a team that I've worked with teams where you can use flags or little notes or something where, when I have the flag up, don't interrupt me, I need to focus.
So there's things
you can do to support each other.
Yeah.
So we did this with one company. We bought flags in the color of their brand.
Yeah.
And if the flag's on the desk, you leave that person alone. That's their time to focus because they have a very open environment.
Like here, that's what I was just thinking. Yeah. That's a great, and I love the open environment. We all do because it is very interactive. But sometimes we do need, and we have little rooms that we can go lock ourselves in, but we do need that focus time on what we're doing.
Yes. And so the key behind that is respecting the flag. Everybody has to respect the flag.
I'm going to bring that up. We all need little flags.
I'll make my own flag.
We can do that.
And we also, for people who have offices, you can go online and find a lot of fun things, but they actually put signs on their door when they don't need to be, because it's harder to use the flag there. Mm-hmm. But you can have some fun little, so it's not leave me alone, I'm busy. You know, it's something fun.
Don't want to talk to you.
Yes. You know, unless the room's on fire, please don't come in. So you can have signs that work that way too.
Oh, that is such a fun tip. I love that one because, yeah, like I said, we're squirrels. Some call it ADHD, some call it creative mind.
Well, it's a fun way to work, right? It's a fun environment. So it's just finding that balance of having some structure, but then allowing for that as well.
Yeah. I definitely need to create some, and I've been noticing it, like just structure, because I love working like that flow, but the structure part is really hard.
Structure and boundaries.
Let's talk about boundaries. Let's start. Where do you want to start with boundaries? Because I do find that to be challenging too. I'll be on my email at 9 p.m. or something, and it goes back to that work-life balance, and it's like, shut it off. So where do you start with boundaries in the work life?
Boundaries, I always say we create our own boundaries, right? So over time, by responding at night or at 2 a.m. or whatever it is, people are going to expect that.
Yeah.
The more we do that, people expect it. And so one by one, we can start to change those boundaries by telling yourself, so I've told myself, I'm going to give a 24-hour, if I get an email, I want to respond within 24 hours.
Yep.
And I will get a question from a client over the weekend or at night, and I want to answer it so badly, but I know if I start to do that, I'm starting to widen those boundaries.
Yep.
And so I wait until the next morning to do it. And so it's really, we have to start bringing those boundaries back to give us that light work-life balance again.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, you have to just do it little by little. So you have to know in your own mind, what are my boundaries? Yeah. And then, you know, really start to stick to those.
So it's more than just setting boundaries with others, but it's setting boundaries with yourself too.
Absolutely.
So you can enjoy life and enjoy the things in life that you love to do. So, you know, like I like to do not disturb. Have you on like my iPhone, I can have apps go dead at like a certain time. I do that with, I'm the social media gal here. I do that with social media because I'm like, I need to get away from you for like a little bit. What are some other of those tips to set those boundaries? So it's like, okay, at 6, I'm done working. I'm cut off. What tips do you have for that?
No, I love that idea. Mm-hmm. There's apps out there that you can use for that too. That I think with social media especially, we'll pick up our phone and get in there without even realizing we're doing it. And then you're like,
so mindless.
What am I doing? Yes. And so there's apps that can block you from doing that. Like you said, at certain times of the day, or you can turn it on at a certain time at night. So that's a great tip. And then, you know, not having the phone by your bed potentially. Mm-hmm. So it's not the last thing you're doing and the first thing you're doing every day.
Yeah.
And I think, like we talked about boundaries among yourself, but you have to share this with others too. Uh-huh. This is one thing I'm trying to work on. I just want you to know and respect each other with those boundaries at the same time. And it comes from leadership too. If you have leaders that are responding and emailing at every hour of the day, then you might think you have to respond. So I think it kind of has to start at that leadership level when you have teams and businesses that you're working with.
I love it. I love this conversation because as we've hit on multiple times, it's something I need to work on. So I love learning from you and I want to keep learning. Is there anything
another one from the Bing Bang press pool. Lori, have you seen any like differences? Like, what are a lot of the differences across the line of different industries? So like for us, we're talking about like trying to be productive and efficient in like a creative sense, but like what are some of those differences of how people work between here versus like, you know, a normal office type setting of like CPAs? Or I think about like how my wife and I work because she's a teacher and like she also needs to be creative but in a different sense, and I've seen her put in like some of the stuff you're talking about of boundaries and efficiency and stuff like that. Like, what are some of those differences across different industries that you've seen that affect productivity and like a work-life balance?
Wow, that's a big question.
He's coming in hot today.
Yeah.
I gotta turn that off.
We already talked about the difference between creatives and, you know, left brain, right brain, that whole thing. Honestly, no matter what industry, people have a lot of the same challenges. Mm-hmm. People are overwhelmed. They have too much to do. They have big goals, things they want to do outside of work. So there is a lot of the same challenges. It's interesting that you bring up your wife being a teacher. What I have found in industries like teaching and nursing, people struggle a lot with taking care of their own stuff because they want to take care of others, and they're always taking care of others. And then to come and take care of their own clutter and their own information and their own time is difficult for them to protect. And so I do see that a lot with teaching and nursing, that's a challenge. So the fact that she's put some systems and boundaries in place is awesome to hear.
Go Desiree.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know that there is a lot of differences other than between kind of the creative and the I don't want to say not creative. Everybody's creative, right?
Left and right.
Those types of minds, you know, you see some differences there. There's people that value high level of structure versus people that want some structure but not that high level of structure, and you see that within all industries. So I don't know that I can pinpoint big differences there.
That brings up an interesting point too, though. So you have that two different sides of the brain, and because we have that here, we have people that are very hour by hour, here's what I'm doing and I'm gonna get it done and focus. Then you have people like us who are like woo, do, 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 do. So how do you get a team to work together? Are you laughing at me? I'm in thought. I'm looking at the TV. I'm thinking it in my head. How do you get a team to work together where they have two different methods of organization and structure and having them flow?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have actually partnered with people in the past that help with, they specialize in kind of those personality assessments
or those
leadership assessment type things. And it's a fun team bonding tool, but it's very, it's creates a great awareness too of how people are different and how to support each other in those differences. Mm-hmm. And so I think really a lot of it is discussing it and communication, and what works for me may not work for you. And so it may not be the same exact system, but then also realizing if you're going to work with a team and you have a project management tool in place, everyone needs to use it for it to work. And so some people are going to have to step out of those comfort zones to be able to support the team. Mm-hmm. But it really does come down to just understanding each other's differences and knowing that it's not a bad thing.
Right.
Everyone's different. And so how do we support each other and how do we make it work as a team?
Yeah, I love that. What personality assessments do you ever do them with your clients? Or
So DISC is one that I've used before and is, you know, very popular. There's StrengthFinders that I've had a lot of clients use. The woman I partnered with used Berkman assessments.
I don't know what that is.
That's maybe not as well known, but it's a great one for business because it looks at how you act in a normal situation and then how you act under stress and how you can support each other in those different situations.
Yeah.
And so, Angie Lookingbill is who I work with on that.
Okay, cool.
And she'll go in and work with leaders and teams and how just understanding, again, each other in different environments and then how we can support each other in those environments.
Yeah,
and understanding your own how you act in those different situations, I think, is really important.
Self-awareness. Too. Mm-hmm. How do you act under stress?
Oh, I probably just cry.
I'm under my desk with a box of tissues.
I, like, shut down. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, no.
Need your flag up. Yes. Crying right now. Don't bother me. I love it. Sorry, I didn't interrupt
See,
your
it can be fun. I know. It can be fun.
What was your question?
I was just going to say, so going forward, we're going to implement flags, and we're all going to take a personality.
Yes. I don't
we're all
going to
work better together.
Damn it.
We can do it.
Well, and one thing when I've partnered with Angie, too, is it's really interesting to look at, based on your where you fit in that assessment, what time management tools may work best for you.
Yeah.
And so it's looking at if you're highly structured versus not, or how you act in those certain situations, what tool fits those different, I don't want to say personalities, but just behaviors, I guess. So that's been kind of fun to look at.
We bring up the flags again, and it kind of goes with your environment, which is something you touched on that you work with your clients on. What are some other things in people's environment that they should either be cognizant of or aware of when trying to create a more productive space?
I would say definitely, you know, the getting the paper under control. Uh-huh. And some people still have quite a bit of paper that they either want to, they need to get organized and structured, or they want to go paperless. Mm-hmm. So having those right tools in place, so you can file quickly, you can scan if you're going to go paperless, and you know where that goes, having a good digital file system. And then just having those other accessory-type tools that are going to help you with that action reference and TOS.
Yeah.
So if this is actionable, do I have files set up for that, or where does that go in my digital system, and how do I tie that to my task list?
Yeah.
And so, and I always say have out what you're working on at the time so you can focus on that, and then anything else that makes you happy or makes you feel more productive.
Chocolate.
There you go. There you go.
Growing up, my mom, whenever I'd get like do my spelling and get a word right, she'd give me an M&M. So sometimes I look at my candy, I'm like, oof, you got a test done. Yeah.
Chocolate. You've been trained. That's funny.
Mom, I love you. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, but I will say, for looking at creatives again, I have people who are really worried about that out of sight, out of mind, and they want more out and visual. And so you can set up good structured systems that are still visual, that might be hanging on the wall or sitting on your desk in organized file form, you know, those step files that go up that you can put projects in.
Yeah.
So if you like to have things out and be more visual, you can still do that in a very organized way, because a mentor of mine would say clutter is postponed decisions. Mm-hmm. And those piles you get are because you don't have the systems in place to be able to make the decisions on where things go.
That hit me a little bit.
Yeah.
Even like not even physical clutter, but like clutter in your head or on your jig board or whatever. Like that is postponed decisions.
Yeah.
I need to make a quote card and we are sharing that.
So that's a huge one. Clutter's postponed decisions. And then what is the next action is another very simple thing. Uh-huh. You can ask yourself if you're stuck in something. For some reason, it's sitting in a pile or it's sitting in your inbox. Just what's the next action? What's one thing you can do to move that forward? Maybe it's giving it to someone else, delegating it. Maybe it's just making a quick phone call, setting up a meeting. Sometimes it's just think of one thing you can do to move that forward and then continue to do that, and then it becomes less overwhelming.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about just kind of day-to-day getting the structure and the overwhelm down. But do you have to ever work with clients on like big picture goals? And here's how we break down what you got to do and the productivity to get to that goal that's next quarter or next year or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's going to be a little more strenuous.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do though, because that's where you start to see kind of the fire and the passion in people. I love helping people that have these bigger goals and they just need help managing everything so they can reach those goals.
Yeah.
And so absolutely, I work with people on the long term and then bringing it into based on that, what do we need to do this year? What are your annual goals? And then let's break that down. And then what do we do every month? And what do we do every week? And what do we do every day? So it really just starting to just break it down to what you're doing.
Yeah. Like your planner. Day.
Yeah. And that's what the planner does. It follows that exact process.
I'm seeing the pattern.
Yes.
It's happening.
Yes.
I love it. Sam, you got any more hot questions over there? He's good to go. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on that we missed that in our discussion today?
Gosh, I don't think so. We touched on a lot.
We did.
I don't want to overwhelm.
No, we're already overwhelmed enough, Lori. I love it. Where can people find you, your business, what you do, socials, all that stuff?
Yeah, so my website is alifemadesimple.com. My business name is Life Made Simple. And then my planner website is proactionplanner.com. And then I'm on social media as well. Lori Vandekraal, Life Made Simple Pro is where you'll find me on social media, on all the main Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, all the main ones.
Awesome. So, well, yeah. We appreciate it, Lori, at putting us in your time management today. and we learned so much. Like, yeah, I took away. I'm going to have to listen to this. What did she say? And we're making flags. We'll send you a picture once we make the flags.
I'd love to see it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.